You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Brian O'Halloran, you might know me from such iconic nerd films as Clerks and Clerks 2 and Vulgar and Brutal Massacre. Anyway, you're listening to the Flopcast with Kevin and Cornflake right here.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 495.
And I'm speeding down the highway in the fast lane.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hello, Kevin.
All right, we're just going to do a silly, goofy show today, which I guess is not a drastic format change for us, but here we are. It's been a weird week, but that's okay. Let's get started, Cornflake, with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
It's a dandy, Kevin. Ralph Macchio is turning 60 on November 4th.
Well, see, now I kind of want to jump out the window. That
you do?
I can't even process that. Could have sworn he was 19 years old this year.
Just yesterday, The Outsiders came out, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it feels.
The Outsiders. Ralph Macchio is one of those scary, eternal youth kind of dudes.
Yeah, he does not look like he has aged.
It's just gotten crazy. And famously, I think we've discussed this before, but like several years ago, he passed the age that Pat Morita was when they made The Karate Kid.
You would not know from looking at him.
Yeah, Ralph looks the same.
And we know it for a fact because we have watched plenty of Cobra Kai as of late.
Well, yeah, he's still at it. Still playing Daniel LaRusso. And he did that, what was that blues guitar movie? Crossroads. We were just talking about Crossroads earlier this year for some reason. But he did a movie where he was like, he was a blues guitarist back then as well. I've never seen that one.
I had no idea. And another movie that I've heard of that I have not watched yet is My Cousin Vinny.
You know, I've never seen that either. And everybody loves it.
Yeah, people seem to quote My Cousin Vinny all the time.
Yeah. And that's Joe Pesci, I know, is in it. And Marissa Tomei and Fred Gwynn from The Munsters. And I have never seen that thing. I have nothing against it. I'm sure I would enjoy it.
Just haven't gotten around to it.
I've been very busy for the last 30 years. Put it on the list. 11 years from now, you and I will get together and watch My Cousin Vinny. I know there's another season of Cobra Kai on the way. Is there any chance we're going to get Hilary Swank?
Highly doubt it.
You know I've been campaigning for Swank. Now, Hilary and Ralph, their characters never crossed paths in the original movies.
Exactly.
She's the next Karate Kid. He was out, she was in.
Something pretty cataclysmic would have to happen, I think, for Hilary Swank to turn up on Cobra Kai. But I'd love to see if they figure out a way.
What if they just switch him out again? Like, he drops out of Cobra Kai. He doesn't want to do the show anymore. And they bring her in. And the cycle continues.
I had forgotten, because this happened 10 years ago now, but there was a time when Ralph Macchio was on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. How did he do?
I think he did pretty well. He placed like third or fourth.
All right. As you know, I've never seen that show, but what did he do? Is it like a lot of breakdancing?
If he's anything like me, because Kevin, you know, I grew up doing martial arts, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why we're on Zoom right now. You know, I'm afraid of you.
So whenever I entered a dance contest, I would just do karate moves, the dance contests growing up. And I'm pretty sure that's how Ralph Macchio got as far along as he did in Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, for Dancing with the Stars, did he wear the shower costume like when he goes to the dance in the movie?
Man, I wish.
I've seen how he dresses up for a dance. Then he gets beat up by a bunch of skeleton dudes. All right, we just fixed Dancing with the Stars. And we've also kicked Ralph off of Cobra Kai because Hilary Swank is coming in to replace him. But happy birthday.
We do birthdays right around here.
Let's see. We had one other stupid, silly thing scheduled for today's show.
Only one.
Yeah. Because, it occurred to me this is episode 495 of the Flopcast. And that number just hit me. Like, wait a minute. 495. What does that mean to me? And then, of course, I realized Route 495, Interstate 495 here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yes. This is a number.
I've just been driving up and down this highway my entire life. That's what that number means to me. And I think to you as well, right? You and I both have just lived our lives on Route 495.
You got to go north, south, east, or west. You can get on 495.
This road somehow goes in every direction. So, yeah, Route 495, it's sort of in central east Massachusetts. It looks like a giant open parentheses wrapped around the greater Boston area.
Yeah, it does give Boston a pretty wide berth, which is what I like about it, not driving directly through the city.
It's about 25, 30 miles outside of Boston, so it's way outside of town, but kind of a giant half circle around Boston if you're looking at a Massachusetts map. And yeah, I've put in just a frightening amount of time, racked up an awful lot of mileage on that road. So 495, that's what that number means to us. I looked it up today. Did you know roads just have their own Wikipedia pages? Because you can go on Wikipedia, there's a page for Route 495.
I did not know this.
It's got its own page. It says Interstate 495 is an auxiliary route of I-95 in the state of Massachusetts.
And I remember it being built for that purpose, to be an auxiliary route.
Okay, how old are you? You remember the construction of Route 495? I had no idea.
Remember my grandparents telling stories about...
You're older than Ralph Macchio. I can't believe it.
When it was constructed. I'm older than Ralph Macchio and I look younger than him. Now, I remember my grandparents telling stories.
Your grandparents would sit around telling stories about the construction of Route 495. Wow.
My grandparents are a big part of the reason why I had such a captivating childhood.
Any listeners out there, if you thought your grandparents were super boring, meet Cornflake. Her childhood consisted of highway construction stories.
It was a big deal at the time.
Oh, you were riveted. All right, so get this. Route 495 is the second longest auxiliary route in the interstate highway system, ranking behind Interstate 476 in Pennsylvania by a difference of 11 miles. See, I don't like this. We're number two to Pennsylvania in auxiliary highways.
Yeah.
By 11 miles. So I feel like, can we just tack another 12 miles onto 495?
I think there has to be a way. The roads in Massachusetts don't go straight anyways. They're kind of like, if you look at the map, it looks like spaghetti.
Could we just extend it into the Atlantic Ocean just long enough to, you know, to break the record?
I wouldn't object, but most people I think would, Kevin.
Trying to get one up on those weasels down in Pennsylvania. But it's astonishing how much of my life, and I think your life too, have been wrapped up in this stupid road, such that, hang with us, people, we're going to try to make this interesting. We're going to try to make Cornflake's grandparents proud. All right, 495 starts down in Wareham, Massachusetts, which that's a town I know nothing about, but it's down near Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this whole area is so lousy with history, but this road starts down near Plymouth, you know, as in Plymouth Rock. You know, the stupid Pilgrim's Landing. That's where this road starts. I don't get down that way very often. Have you been to Plymouth Plantation?
Nope.
There's like people in period costumes, like pilgrims.
Yeah.
They're living in a little pretend village. Like, here's what Plymouth was like in the 1600s or whatever. Yeah, it's freaky. You're getting down near Cape Cod, the South Shore area.
Yes.
We tend to avoid the South Shore, don't we, you and I?
Mostly. I do remember a memorable trip. Because that's where the thermometer man lives. Have you ever heard of him?
I think I've heard about the thermometer man from you.
I can't imagine anybody else in your world would talk about the thermometer man, Kevin.
Who's the thermometer man? Refresh my memory. Because right now I am terrified. It sounds like a Stephen King story. Can we assume this is a guy with a giant collection of thermometers?
Oh, absolutely.
It's okay.
All kinds.
That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Thermometer man. Heading up 495 a little farther, you get Foxborough is in that area.
Football.
That's Gillette Stadium, sure, where your New England Patriots play. You've been down there, right?
For an engineering convention.
That's right. Yeah, you went to the football stadium when they threw all the football players out and then all the engineers came in and you were there for the engineering convention.
That is correct.
The nerdiest event in the history of Gillette Stadium. And Cornflake was there Just up the road from there is Wrentham, Massachusetts. This is one of the birthplaces of my stupid comedy band, the Sponge Awareness Foundation. We did a lot of our recording of our stupid music happened in the town of Wrentham.
It has that Wrentham sound to it.
Yeah, that's one of those, like the Seattle scene, you know, San Francisco. There are some towns, New Orleans, that have a sound to them. And Wrentham, certainly, the sound of Wrentham is stupid comedy music. Compliments of my band, the Sponge Awareness Foundation. I was in Wrentham last week, strangely. I went to an apple orchard because I needed apples.
Does Wrentham have good apples?
They got a great apple orchard in Wrentham. Yes, I was there for apples. But moving along, Franklin, Massachusetts is also along 495. Yikes, I have a history with Franklin, Massachusetts.
Yeah, you do.
You know that town. This is where my old coffee shop was, The Grind. I spent the mid-90s in Franklin, Massachusetts, hosting open mic nights and folk music shows and whatnot.
Those were good days.
It was seriously like a 4 or 5 year run of me just running back and forth with adjusting microphones and guitar cables and introducing girls singing Alanis Morissette songs.
Or Jewel, right?
Or Jewel, yep, a lot of Jewel. A lot of Alanis.
Any Lisa Loeb?
Occasionally some Lisa might get in there, sure. Yeah, man, that was the 90s to me. I was in Franklin. I was at The Grind. And Sponge Awareness Foundation, we did some shows, some reunion shows at The Grind as well. I think you caught the tail end of The Grind experience, right? You saw us there.
That I did.
Other interesting thing about Franklin is the America's first public library is in Franklin.
That's rad.
Yeah, they named the town Franklin. They named it after Benjamin Franklin. He's not from Franklin. As far as I know, he never went to Franklin. They just named the town after Ben Franklin because they were hoping that he would donate a bell to them for their church. He did not. Instead, he sent them a bunch of books, and they were like, oh, great, thanks. But then they ended up forming the first public library in America, and it's still there to this day, and his books are still there.
That's really cool.
You can go see Ben Franklin's books.
That's what I've always wanted to do. I just didn't know.
Next time you stop by the studio, I still have a couple of them here because I forgot to check them back in. So I can show you Ben Franklin's books.
Wow.
You have no idea the fines I've been racking up since the mid-90s, what I owe them in late fees on Ben Franklin's original books. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's staggering.
Yeah. Yeah. They're mostly porn, oddly. Next up the road, we have Bellingham, Massachusetts. I was in Bellingham, Massachusetts just last week. This is where my comic book shop is, you know?
Rubber Chicken.
You know I go to Rubber Chicken Comics for all my comic book buying needs. There is a comic book shop in Bellingham called Rubber Chicken Comics. And so, of course, it's our favorite. Friends of the Flopcast over there, Rubber Chicken. Say hi to Jay and Steve and the whole gang. And then get out of town. There's nothing else there.
That's accurate.
There really isn't. There used to be, there was a seafood place called the Chowder Bowl, and that was my source for clam cakes, for Rhode Island-style clam cakes.
Rhode Island-style clam cakes without having to actually go to Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It was great. I could get Rhode Island clam cakes without going to Rhode Island. So, you know, I'd go get my comic books, and then I got just down the road, clam cakes. But the Chowder Bowl is gone. They closed.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah. Now I have to actually go into Rhode Island for a clam cake.
Boo.
It's rough. Moving along, Milford, Massachusetts. There used to be another comic book shop in Milford, Massachusetts, way back in the late 80s, early 90s. And it was just this big bearded dude was just sitting in there smoking cigarettes all day. It was just piles of junk inside. It was creepy and stupid. So we went there a lot, my friends and I. So I remember it well. There were some nights when the store would be open until 8 o'clock. And there were some nights when it would be open until 7:45.
That's unusual.
The reason? Those were the nights he had to get home in time to watch wrestling.
Ah.
The guy built his official store hours around watching wrestling.
That's a fan right there. That's dedication.
I guess. Then there was a Store 24, you know, 24-hour convenience store in the middle of Milford. And so we'd go there in the middle of the night just to buy, you know, Snapple. Because me and my crazy friends, we were out of control.
You had midnight Snapple addictions, did you?
Yeah, yeah. We really had a problem. There'd be this weird old dude was always hanging around inside. They called him Mad Louie. So we'd go in there and get our soda and our Snapple or whatever and be like, oh yeah, there's Mad Louie. Then we'd get out, keep driving.
Take that Snapple and go.
listening to Steely Dan the whole way. Man, those were the days. Next up the road, Bolton, Massachusetts. You know Bolton.
I do. It's where my favorite winery is.
Oh, they got wine. I think I've been there. What's it called?
Neshoba Valley Winery.
Yes, I did go there once. Yeah, it's an apple orchard and they got wine.
Yeah, you talked about where you get your apples along 495. I've done some. They have wine. They have rum. They have gin. They have all the good stuff. And
it sounds like you're just looking for a liquor store. There might be a more local option for you. Just up 495 from there is Boxborough, Massachusetts. There's a town called Boxborough, which is a pretty ridiculous name for a town.
It is.
But how many towns are there in Massachusetts? Like 18,000?
There are, and lots of them end in borough.
They kind of ran out of names. There's a comic book convention in Boxborough. The current location of Northeast Comic-Con is a hotel in Boxborough. And Northeast Comic-Con is happening at the end of November.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm thinking about maybe making an appearance there. Maybe. It's vaccine required to enter, so I like that. I'm thinking about possibly popping in there, perhaps. But it's Thanksgiving weekend. But it's just always such a bizarre bunch of guests that they round up for Northeast Comic-Con. So Billy West is coming back.
Oh, fun.
Voice acting royalty Billy West from Ren and Stimpy and Futurama and everything else that's ever been done in cartoons.
He's so cool.
Yeah, Billy's going to be there again. Michael Winslow is coming. He's the sound effects guy from the Police Academy movies. Robert Wool is coming, strangely. Actor, comedian Robert Wool. I've never known to be at conventions before, but Northeast Comic-Con tends to land people that you don't expect to see at this kind of show, including, here's a name I've never seen on a list like this, Christine DeBell is scheduled to be there. I knew that name as soon as I saw it on the guest list. Christine DeBell was one of the stars of Meatballs.
Oh my goodness.
In 1979, she's one of the counselors in training working with Bill Murray in Meatballs. She was AL. Remember the pretty blonde girl?
Yes.
Yeah, she's coming. Christine's name certainly caught my eye on the guest list. Among the music acts, because they also round up a bunch of weird bands and music acts and comedy acts every year at Northeast Comic-Con, and the Harp Twins are coming. I was not familiar with the Harp Twins. They're twin sisters. They both have harps. They're the Harp Twins.
Well, if you're twin sisters and have harps, what else are they going to call you?
Yeah, that must be how they came up with the name for the act. That sounds like your kind of thing, though. I could see you getting into the Harp Twins.
I would dig the Harp Twins.
We should look them up.
Gotta see if there's a YouTube playlist out there.
I'll bet there is. The other guest of interest for us is a friend of the Flopcast from Lost in Space, Marta Kristen.
Marta Kristen's going to be there.
Marta's coming back. Judy Robinson from way back in the 60s on Lost in Space. Always delightful to see Marta, of course. So that's all happening in Boxborough Thanksgiving weekend. So maybe you'll see me there. Maybe not. We'll see.
I love that it's Thanksgiving weekend. That's a good alternative to stuffing your face and shopping.
Stay out of the malls. Stay out of the stores. Go hang out with AL from Meatballs instead. Just up the road, Cornflake, now we're getting in a town that you and I both have a deep, dark history with, because 495 also goes very close to Lowell.
Yeah.
There's a special little extra road called the Lowell Connector.
That comes off of 495.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody realized, hey, we need a way to connect Lowell to Route 495. And so they built a little road and they called it the Lowell Connector. What do you think of when you think of Lowell? Because I know you've put in your time in Lowell.
I went to UMass Lowell. That's where I got my degree.
That was your school.
That was. And I lived in that crazy big tall building, Fox Hall.
I know that building. Sponge Awareness has performed in that building.
Yep. And I think of the Lowell Folk Festival, of course. That is my favorite thing about Lowell.
There's a giant free music festival every year, the Lowell Folk Festival.
The largest free folk festival in the country.
And it's not a folk festival.
No, it is not.
That's how they get you.
It is world music.
Yeah, it's world music. That's one of the many reasons you do not see me at the Lowell Folk Festival.
It is not folk as you and I know it. Something that I remember from the Folk Festival is broadcasting live.
Yeah, that was your radio show was based out of Lowell back in your radio days.
Called Coffee and Cartoons, named after a Sponge Awareness Foundation song.
Absolutely. Yeah, you had a... You had a radio show named after a song by my band, and now the saxophone solo from that song is the theme to the Flopcast.
Very true.
Look at how this whole thing is turning in on itself.
Sponge Awareness Foundation is my favorite band that I ever interviewed for the show.
Were we a tough interview?
Oh, you guys picked on me so hard.
Well, we were on the defensive. We were ready for you and your gotcha journalism.
I was such a kid. So there is a picture of us broadcasting live just before They Might Be Giants took the stage as the headlining act for Spring Carnival. And we look like kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were like 11 years old, evidently, when they took that picture. But yeah, like Wrentham was one of the birthplaces of my band, Sponge Awareness Foundation. Lowell was the other one. We kind of split our recording time between Wrentham and Lowell, both right off of Route 495, opposite ends. And most of our early performances were in Lowell, mostly around the college. That was our town.
Yeah.
That whole town was just gripped with Sponge Awareness fever back then. You know, we were the hottest ticket in town.
It was. So when I think back to Lowell, I think of all my friends, if I had to pick a percentage, I probably made about 75% of my lifetime friends in Lowell. So it's very significant to me.
You and I met in Lowell, didn't we?
We did.
My favorite diner is in Lowell, Arthur's Paradise Diner.
Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff.
Great, great place, although I never go there because I'm never in Lowell.
Yeah, that's the problem. It is in Lowell.
Yeah, the problem is you have to go to Lowell to go to Arthur's, and so I never do. The big names, I think, like famous people from Lowell, the big one is Jack Kerouac.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there's a whole park right across the street from Arthur's Paradise Diner. There's the Jack Kerouac Park.
Park and a museum, and there are Kerouac tours around town at certain times of year.
Oh, yeah. There's a festival. They do Kerouac festivals. I had dinner with Allen Ginsberg once. At the Kerouac Festival. Not because I was anybody, because believe me, I was nobody, but they randomly sat Allen Ginsberg at my table.
My goodness.
Yeah, that was a weird night. But Betty Davis was from Lowell, and Ed McMahon put in some time in Lowell also. A strange batch of celebrities out of that very strange, crumbling old mill town. It's scary and ridiculous, and we love it. Now, once you get north of Lowell, I'm less familiar with the towns north of Lowell on 495, but you're more familiar. That we're getting more up into your territory, I think, but I'm looking at towns like Andover and Lawrence and Haverhill. Haverhill, I know, because we performed in Haverhill a couple of years ago, remember?
Yes, I do remember.
That was me and Ed and Mikey and Carl, and we put together that super group and just did a whole concert of, of TV theme songs. Because you go to a bar, you're looking for a band that's just going to play Welcome Back, Cotter and Facts of Life all night. That's what we delivered to the people of Haverhill. Up beyond that, it's like Amesbury, and I think the final town on the list is Salisbury, which I know nothing about, but you've put in some time up that way.
I have.
What's going on up there?
Amesbury, of great importance to the early days of the Flopcast, that's where they had the Zorb Ball. Do you remember the Zorb, Kevin?
Yeah, that's one of the very early episodes of the Flapcast. You were explaining Zorbing to me. I forgot that happened in Amesbury, right?
It did.
That's where they'd stuff you inside a giant plastic ball and push you down a hill.
Yes, the big old hamster ball.
That's called Zorbing.
That is called Zorbing, but I drove by it the other day. I think they're turning it into a place where they're going to build like a housing development or something. They're tearing the whole thing down. So I don't know where I'm going to do my Zorbing anymore.
Are they going to set the Zorb balls just loose onto Route 495? They're probably tumbling down the road as we speak.
What might be fun is to put them out on the ocean.
Just send them out to sea. Just keep Zorbing until you hit Reykjavik, Iceland.
Because you also have Salisbury nearby.
End of the line is Salisbury, Massachusetts. That's where Route 495 comes to its bitter end. I don't know that I've ever even been there. What's happening up there?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was at UMass Lowell and there was a day off from school and the kids all wanted to go to a beach, friends would hop in each other's cars, whoever had a car, and we'd all go up to Salisbury. We didn't have GPS back then, so I think that's the only beach my friends knew how to get to.
It's like you were living in a music video. I'm picturing you and all your friends and surfboards and piling into like a Jeep. Go-Go's music is playing.
It's also where I had my first Dole Whip. Have you ever had Dole Whip?
I don't know what that is.
Dole Whip is a frozen confection made with pineapple, but it's whipped so fine that it comes out the consistency of ice cream, and it is delicious.
Hmm. And it just naturally washes up on the shore up that way?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
That's probably why there's so many bugs.
Yeah. Wikipedia does mention that when you get up towards the very top of Route 495 up that way, it says at one point you're as close as 400 feet to the New Hampshire border.
It does get very close.
That's just terrifying. That's getting a little too close to the state of New Hampshire, I
think. Too close to NH for comfort?
That is why I never ride all the way to the end of 495. I don't want to get that close. Well, that's 495, Cornflake, in honor of Flopcast episode 495. I just feel like I've spent maybe 40% of my life just driving up and down this one road. You know? I was on 495 literally last night.
Really?
Yeah. And I never drive anywhere anymore. All right. Well, there's a... I hope that wasn't super boring. Which highway are we going to discuss on next week's show? We'll set up a poll for the listeners. This is our new format from now on. Enjoy, everybody. Cornflake, please get us out of here.
Please let it be Route 2. Flopcast.net is our website. We're on Facebook.com/Flopcast. We're on Twitter, too. Our handle there is @Flopcast. And on Instagram, the_Flopcast. At Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and or a review. It helps other listeners find the show and have as much fun as you're having right now listening to us talk about Route 495. Music for the Flopcast.
Oh, no. The reviews that are going to come in now. What have we done?
Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, I forgot all about them. I don't think we've mentioned that band on the show in quite a long time. Cornflake, thanks for getting through episode 495. With me, everybody. We did it. Good job. We're just about done. You know what to do. Meanwhile, you know, be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll try this again next week.
Peace and cookies.
How did watchdog groups with no experience in television take a controlling interest on Saturday morning television?
When did Wonder Woman make her animated debut?
Want to know why there were two competing Ghostbuster shows?
How Atari changed the Saturday morning landscape?
How did networks compete over similar genres at the same time?
Find out all of this and more on the Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast.
A proud member of the ESO Network.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine.
We urge you to
be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
Join us weekly as we journey into DC's infinite frontier.
We discuss DC news, comics, television shows, movies, and more.
Earth Station DCU is part of the ESO Network. Check us out where fine podcasts are found.
Okay, Cornflake, this is the secret after show, and it's time for a deep dive into the Massachusetts Turnpike. Let's do this.
Oh, no. Please, no.
What's going on? What you got?
We were talking about Stranger Things on last week's show.
Oh, yeah. Yes, in honor of Winona Ryder, the birthday girl.
And I was supposed to watch my first episode of Stranger Things. That was going to be the plan. That was going to be how I celebrated Halloween.
Yeah.
And as you know, Kevin, I recently got a new puppy dog.
What are you up to now? 11 dogs? I lost count.
I have an entire petting zoo now. It's right. A bit extreme. And so I got on the couch, getting ready to watch my Stranger Things. It gets about halfway through the episode, and it gets a little bit frantic. And the dog starts barking her brains out. Like, she wants us, she wants to protect us from whatever that monster is on television. So I'm trying to turn it down. I'm trying to calm the dog, and it's just not working. And I thought, oh, I finally came to terms with watching this scary show. And now the dog is too scared and I'm not going to be able to watch it. But then I said, oh, if I try to explain to Kevin that I couldn't watch this show because of the dog, he's going to think I chickened out.
Right.
So just before recording the Flopcast tonight, I thought, I know, I'll turn the show on again. And this time I'll record the dog losing her mind so Kevin can tell that I'm not making it up and just, you know, not being a sissy and being too afraid to watch it, that I really did try. So once again, I'm on the couch with my new puppy and I get my phone ready and I'm going to record the dog barking her brains out. Same scene plays again with a monster.
Yep.
Dog is completely fine. Couldn't be happier.
All right.
And so I have watched my first official episode of Stranger Things.
Got through the whole episode. Episode one.
And now I don't have a dog telling me what to do when it comes to what television shows I will consume.
Right. For future reference, anytime you think maybe I might want to hear a recording of your dog barking.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the Tee Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.